With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Have you checked out the latest Ball Family Reserve collection from Ernie Ball Music Man? BFI is a celebration of Ernie Ball's heritage in instrument craftsmanship, which features some of the finest figure tone woods and finishes available. These rare pieces are offered in limited production runs and allow the public access to instruments previously reserved for family and loyal artists. This month features the Bongo in Wild Cherry Burst, the Majesty in Blue Steakhouse, and the Valentine in Target Burst. Learn more about where to get yours at music-man.com/BFR. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Mark Packham.
Commodore Format Magazine.
Yes, you've been reading a lot of that recently. Now, this is the 280th episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. Mattless this week. I believe we're going to have Matt back next week, so don't worry, listener. I think the podcast will be greatly improved by his return, but nonetheless.
I was saying in our group chat beforehand, I always like it when Matt's not here, because
other people get to talk.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just, you know, he shows us up. You know, he's the one that people like, really. Let's be honest. He's the one that people listen for.
Over
he's
50%.
The one who's like, he's good at guitar. Yeah. He's, you know, really knowledgeable. Like, really nice to be around, really generous with his time and his expertise. And
he's so lovely.
This is absolutely
right, like,
the B-team.
Yeah, definitely we're the B-team. Yeah. This is the Matt Knight Guitar Nerds Podcast.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even on our group chat earlier before we started, all of us three were like being like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm knackered from work today, I'm exhausted, let's do this podcast. And Matt, who can't make it this week, messaged him being like, I really miss you guys.
He's desperate to be here, and we're all just like, oh, knackered. Can't do it.
He is so absolutely lovely. But yes, nonetheless, we are here. We're here to talk about guitars and stuff. So we got a new guitar sent through for the Guitar Nerds community. Well, not the community, not you guys.
Specifically,
specifically.
Specifically me. Yes. We got sent through. Now, this isn't especially new, because I think it came out the last NAMM show that happened, I think, because it was definitely there at the Birmingham guitar show, which would have been the last show that we all went to, except for you, Jay. You didn't go to that one, did you?
No, I was at a wedding.
A wedding, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Not mine, I should add.
No, exactly. But I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but the Sterling Cutlass short scale.
Joe, if you were asking me specifically whether I've seen this, I'm not sure how you expected me to have missed it, considering all you've done for the last week or so is send us pictures of you playing this guitar.
Oh, okay, but that's true. But you didn't get to try it nonetheless.
No, I didn't. No.
This, and we did, we probably spoke about it a little bit when it came out, but I think potentially when it came out, maybe there were a lot of other pink things happening, or at least lots of other sort of high end stuff. And of course, Music Man do tend to, you know, batch release these incredible guitars. So maybe it got slightly eclipsed in that sense. But the Cutlass short scale, so a 24-inch scale Cutlass, which is kind of their S-type body shape that Music Man do, with an angled single coil in the neck and a humbucker in the bridge, still with a trem in shell pink. Nonetheless. Now, it is also available in mint green, and actually the shell pink that Music Man or Sterling do is much much more faded than I think the sort of the conventional shell pink. It's much more subtle, but I very much like it. They've gone for a laurel fretboard, so a kind of rosewood version, or maple on the mint green. I am having a fantastic time on a very bendy string sort of S-style guitar. It's really good. Really good for like £300. You know, what are your opinions on it?
I think it does exactly what it sort of sets out to do by the sound of things. I mean, I haven't had a chance to play it yet, obviously. But I wish they did that and that colour in a full-scale guitar. Cause I think,
are you not a fan of the idea of a 24-inch scale S-type?
It's probably fun to play around on, and by the sound of things, it sounds like you're having a great time. I would love to see what they could do if they scale that up to the full size, because it looks absolutely phenomenal. And if you're looking for something short scale, then what are your options for something that looks that good?
Yeah, if you want short scale, but you like bolt-on style guitars, yeah, I guess you're sort of relatively limited to sort of the sort of Fender and Squire Mustang range of things.
Yeah,
it's a lovely alternative. I tell you what, I thought that neck pickup sounded absolutely fantastic. Like, you expect a certain level of this is fine from a guitar at the sort of £350 price point, but it was actually exceptional. Like, especially like the neck pickup especially sounded absolutely fantastic, like really rich and lush. I was playing it very clean with tons of reverb, and yeah, it was fantastic. I haven't put the tremolo arm in yet and tried to use that in any way, shape or form yet, but
Joe, can I just say that what you've described there is it's just growing up. when you say the neck pickup sounded so good, I hate to say it, it's like I think it's like one of those things, it's like beer, like I think they've always sounded that good, it's just you've never been able to appreciate it. That's certainly how I felt over the last like couple of years. I've started to be like, oh, you know what, neck pickups, yeah, fantastic. And I think I'm just like growing up and my ears are just developing, becoming more refined.
Is that what you're playing on your Sonic Red Stratocaster?
Yeah, it is most of the time. It is the neck pickup. Yeah, yeah. It just sounds great. It just sounds fantastic. I think the neck pickup is just, yeah, I don't know. I think I was just naive when we first started this podcast. I was like, no, bridge pickup only.
I think the only guitar where I don't use the bridge pickup is that Dan Electro that I've got, because the bridge pickup sounds absolutely dreadful. It's they're because they are what they are, and any sort of Dan Electro fan will tell you that the bridge pickups are kind of thin sounding. You pretty much can only use the neck pickup.
Mark, I'm sorry to cut across you there, but I think you're just, what you're showing there is the fact that you just don't have as refined ears as Joe and I.
Sure.
I think is really what it comes down to, and I'm looking forward to when all this is over and we can like play each other's guitars, so to speak. I'm looking forward to hearing your Casino through the correct pickup, the neck pickup.
The neck pickup on the Casino, because they've got like really weak pickups in there, i.e. like low output, the neck pickup on the Casino unfortunately just does sound like a bit muddy, whereas the bridge pickup sounds amazing.
Again, I'm afraid you're just embarrassing yourself. Sure. Now you really are. You're just embarrassing yourself now, you unrefined swine.
The only guitar I'll let you play is the Les Paul Junior, so you don't have a choice.
Well, because I've already played the bridge pickup. Okay, yeah.
is the Dan Electro you've got a DC 59?
Yes, it's the double cut. It's one from the early 2000s or late 90s, so it's like proper wooden bridge, dual concentrics.
Does that mean it has the back of the neck's unfinished?
No.
On those ones?
It is not. We talked about this before. It's finished, but it's not the... so the more recent ones, they had that like weird black satin finish to them, which I never really got on with.
That was when they changed the headstock and made it slightly asymmetrical.
Yeah, this is like just a gloss... kind of natural finish to it. It's weird on my one because it almost looks the same color as the body, because my one was like a limited edition peach color. And the neck is not that far off that, but I think it's actually just a natural maple with a gloss that's kind of looks a bit pinky. But I've seen other ones which are, you know, black, or I think I saw a silver sparkle as well that have the same neck on it, and it's just natural. But yeah, the bridge pickup is not great. The neck, right. The like middle pickup sounds wicked.
See, and just to completely counteract that, when I had one of those guitars in 2000 and
I remember that guitar
10 11 12 yeah. I don't know, I wouldn't go anywhere near the neck pickup because the bridge pickup was the only one for me.
I agree. I think Dan Electros are all about that bridge pickup sound. They're about that sort of really crisp, brittle, biting.
It is
sound.
Just that, though. It's just brittle. Yeah. There's not really anything. I couldn't find a way to use it like successfully. The neck pickup just sounds way better in that guitar.
Do you remember when those Dan Electros that had unfinished maple necks came out?
No. And to be honest, if you do any research on Dan Electro stuff, because the range has changed so much, like all the time, it's so hard to actually like work out. Like, I'm just going to Google quickly, like history of Dan Electro guitars, I guess. And I just don't think anyone's able to keep up with it because they've bought so much stuff like in and out. And like the 90s, and it all kind of looks the same. You know, it's all based on those original designs, but there are real subtle differences in terms of how they're made and what's available and how traditional they are. You know, whether they've got, like you say, like painted necks or unpainted necks or the natural satin necks. Let's have a look.
We don't talk about Dan Electro maybe enough, considering I reckon I get a press release from them every 2 weeks.
Well, they're always putting out stuff. That's the thing. And that has been the thing ever since I remember them coming back, you know, like in the sort of 90s. It's, you know, there's just, there's a load of stuff that comes out and then it disappears again. And that's right across the board, right from the pedals through to the guitars. And they always are vaguely the same. You know, there's always a version of like the Dan Echo out there. There's always a version of the DC-59 out there. But they're always just a bit different, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Thomann still have the double neck, a silver burst double neck part guitar, part bass that you can purchase. And it gives it has like a 2 to 4 week lead time on this. Yet, you know, that double neck is absolutely not on the Dan Electro website.
Yeah.
And I remember when it was, because I was working at GAC, and I remember getting hold of emailing the distributor being like, can I purchase one of these? And I sent several emails that I don't think I ever got a single response from. So I never did buy that guitar. But I still, the Thomann still have that on their website, suggesting that maybe if you purchased it, Dan Electro would make one.
Yeah. I don't know how that works, and I'm just looking now, like there's a whole bunch of articles about, you know, Dan Electro came back and they relaunched in 1998 apparently at the NAMM show with the DC-59s, but then, you know, you look at one here that's fairly modern, I would say, and it's completely different to the one that I've got, both in spec, you know, what the tuners are. Like mine, I've got the plastic buttons and the big sort of Dan Electro machine heads on there, these kind of like weird chunky things. And then you look at modern one and it's just got, you know, some vintage style metal button tuners, and it, you know, it's non-dual concentric. It's got, you know, just volume tone. It's got a metal bridge with actual adjustable saddles, completely different to what mine is. So it's just so hard to trace what they've made when. And now, obviously, they make loads of other stuff as well. You know, they make like the stuff that looks like the Mosrite guitars, and they make stuff
Strat
that,
range.
Yeah, that looks kind of Stratty. Yeah, and you know, for a while they were doing things like the Hodad, was it, which was the one that had like the effects in and stuff. Like, it's not. And I just don't think they've ever kind of kept a record of the stuff that they've made.
It seems like that when they introduced that Mosrite shape, which I think is normally called. Oh no, it has
isn't
various
it the dead
names.
On 64 or something like that?
Or the 66. So I think the 64 is the more traditionally Mosrite shape, and then there's the 66, which is kind of a carved top version of it with maybe slightly more. There's maybe a little bit of a German carve going on it. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, the 66 is available in a semi-hollow format in both baritone and normal scale. They've got some cracking stuff. I see from their website they've brought back the Coral sitar as well, because they've had the baby sitar in their catalogue for the longest time, and I've always been like, I always kind of wanted the Coral sitar, but the second hand ones, the ones from when they, you know, made them the first time, tend to, like, in the 60s, go for loads of money. I'm like, well, I kind of only want it for a bit of fun, and the baby sitar was maybe just a bit too. Like, it looks a bit daft to me, them actually trying to make it look like a sitar rather than accepting that it's just a guitar with one of those flat bridges. But I love that the Coral sitar also has the sympathetic string set on it. I love that they've brought it back as well.
So even just in the 59s right now, DC-59s, you've got the 59 Divine, which is, what's the difference on this one? 59 Deluxe. So launch this in 59, naming it the Deluxe. This hot reissue features vintage 50s lipstick pickups, adjustable bridge, front and back binding, pointer knobs, and Goto heads, right? So that's basically like, you've probably seen a Deluxe before. It's the kind of edge-bound one, but not bound with the tape almost, but actually edge-bound. And it's pointer dual concentrics. And on this version, it's got like adjustable saddles and like a proper bridge on it.
Very nice.
So and it comes in like a couple of wood finishes and a flame top version as well.
Oh yes, this was the premium range. That
So there's that 50, the Divine 59. There's also the Stock 59, which is similar to the guitar that I've got, because it has got the wooden bridge, you know, just the like one bit of wood that slides back and forth, but it doesn't have dual concentrics. It's just got a volume and tone by the looks of things. Like natural finish maple neck, so it's rosewood board but maple back, so I think that's like a satin natural, so that's I guess kind of closest. But then they also do the 59M, which is a
metal flake.
No, I don't think it's just that, though, because the bridge is different on those again. It's got, almost like an adjustable, kind of almost like Les Paul Junior-style bridge on there, and it has dual concentrics. So not only is the finish different, it's got metal flake finish, but it's like a completely different spec guitar as well. So, it's always a bit difficult to just kind of keep track of what they're up to, basically. And then they do the 59-12, but that's got like a humbucker in the bridge and sort of a P90 in the neck.
Well, that's where they've moved their Mosrite pickups into their 59
model. Because so that is also available, the 59 XT, which is a trem with the Mosrite pickups in it. So they do all sorts of stuff. It's all wicked. It's just hard to keep track of what everything is.
They do a fantastic range of stuff. Have either of you ever played the Convertible?
No, but I want one. I've seen a couple of vintage ones knocking around. So that's the acoustic that's got basically a lipstick pickup over the hole. So it's like a 59 body shape, but it's a fully acoustic guitar.
Definitely had these in when we were at GAC.
Yeah, we used to keep one in the video room.
Oh, wow. So I've just pulled up a... Oh my gosh. I've just pulled up a Music Radar review of this, of the Convertible from 2015. This is a lot more recent than I was expecting.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's definitely
They're a current model.
Current-ish, yeah. Yeah, it's still on the website. If you go to danelectro.com/all-guitars, it lists everything they currently make, and the Convertible is listed. as
okay
one
then
those.
Well, I'll let people look for this review by themselves if they want to find it, because you know. No, it looks great.
I think it does look fantastic. Is the review scathing?
I've closed the window. I can't remember.
I like those. I like the convertibles. I like the idea.
It looks. I mean, it genuinely looks fantastic.
And it actually has the large sort of metal tailpiece as well, with the Dan Electro D on there. I think that's. It's really cool. It's really super cool.
I mean, to be honest, the 59 that I've got is basically almost acoustic anyway. Like, loud acoustically.
So loud.
I'm not sure exactly how much more volume you'd get with one that's got a sound hole on it. But
well,
like,
I guess it's chambered and it's such a, you know, lighter guitars tend to be louder anyway. And it's, you know, it's all that chambered Masonite. They're going to be acoustically very loud as well.
I basically use the 59 that I've got as you would do if you had like an acoustic guitar knocking around at home. I use it for like songwriting and stuff, and you know, kind of what I would normally think of doing on acoustic, I just do on that because it's like easy to pick up, nice and light, loads of volume. If you're just recording a bit of a demo into your phone or whatever, it's perfect.
Would you ever buy an acoustic Mark for sort of home
stuff? No, I just sold my one, didn't I? I had a Baby Taylor, not Baby Taylor.
Oh, of course, yeah.
GS Mini.
Yeah, and I just was like, this is
too
loud.
It.
I just, the thing for me is like, I live in a small flat, I've got neighbours close by, an acoustic is too loud for that, and I don't do any gigs on acoustic, so why do I need this? The Dan Electro is much better suited, and the Casino also, you know, I've got that now as well. So yeah, I just, for what I would use an acoustic for, I've got two better options at home.
What about you, Jay? Would you ever...
I mean, acoustic for me, I kind of feel the same as Mark in that, like, I just don't know when I pick it up. And don't get me wrong, I love the idea of having one, like having like a D18 or something like that, just that you can pick up and like, you know, sounds really good. I mean, I've got a Baby Taylor, which I never play. In fact, I'm not even sure I know where it is. I think it's behind me somewhere in my gear hole, so to speak. But it's I never play it, but I like the idea of having like a really nice big kind of like a D18 or something like that. But it's just realistically, I'm just not gonna play it. Like, you know, the guitars that I play most are the guitars that are easy to play, and like acoustic guitars, they sound fantastic, but like they got 12s on. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just big, isn't it? Like, the body's massive.
Not for you.
We also need you to be any louder when you're playing. Cause,
well, there is that. Like,
even when you're playing not plugged in, it sounds like you've got an amp on, like, 10. Because
I don't really understand why I'm so much louder than most people, but...
I think it's due to your size.
Yeah.
Because you're so much bigger than people.
What? So, like, just my body resonates the, like, I act as an amp.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, it's the like same I'm like a piano, basically.
Well, it's the same principle as, you know, amplification. You know, bigger amplifiers are louder.
You're almost like, you know, like if you sit and on the sofa or whatever, and your the strap button of your guitar is like dug a little bit into the arm of the sofa, or like if you like put a playing guitar and you put the strap
rest
in
the
like
on a table
or whatever, it makes everything super loud. That's what it's like listening to you, but without you doing that.
Yeah. That's it. You've got big feet as well, so it's just, you know, all that foot space on the floor is probably resonating through
more surface area. That's
yeah,
what
more
is.
Surface area, more contact.
All right, do you need me to just start playing guitar like on one leg?
I think it would help.
If you're trying to be quiet at home, maybe that is the solution. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I'll give it a go and I'll see what happens.
It'll also just be funnier for us, so that's always a good thing.
So I have been getting really into acoustic at the moment. In fact, when I went on holiday last week, and I went to the Cotswolds and stayed in a little converted barn thing with my girlfriend, and we took the Spire and an acoustic. And actually, I've got this lovely Art and Luthery parlor, little 12-fret parlor that I'm a big fan of, but I probably haven't restrung it in the best part of a year, and it was sounding a little bit dull. So I thought it was very last minute. So I was like, oh, I'll have to grab something else. What do I have that it ideally isn't Harlequin Guitar Club stock, that strings are a bit better? And I have like 4 or 5 acoustics around anyway. But I remembered that we had and still have from from Yamaha, their CSF TA, part of their transacoustic range.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a lovely, it's a parlor-sized guitar, 14-fret parlor. So, you know, not really parlor, parlor's, so it should be 12-fret. But, you know, it's a lovely small shape. And the CSF TA is kind of like, it's a steel string parlor, but the body size, the body sort of layout wood materials are very much of a classical guitar. So it looks like it should be a classical guitar, but with, you know, the sort of slimmer, rounder fretboard profile and, of course, steel strings. And of course, that comes with the built-in reverb and built-in chorus as well. That's mechanical, so you can utilize both of those effects without being plugged in. Now, I actually really like the sound of a dry acoustic anyway. I'm going through a real sort of like a Neil Young and Bob Dylan phase at the moment, but the reverb was actually really handy because it's not too much, it's not too over the top, it's just kind of subtle. You can barely notice it when you're sort of strumming chords, but it really brings out a lot of your sort of lead work or picking work if you're doing anything like that. But I'm getting into acoustics and I've got a lot of time for this little Yamaha trans acoustic.
And speaking of acoustic guitars, I stumbled across something just now which I don't think we've ever talked about and is completely bananas. How familiar are you guys with Breedlove?
Oh, yes.
I know it. They're a company.
We have actually dealt with them, in fact.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not, obviously, they mainly make acoustic guitars or only make acoustic guitars. I'm not sure if there's any electrics on here. Just having a quick look.
I reckon I know what you're going to talk about.
They've got a new signature model.
So they have.
Did you know about this?
I did not, but I'm looking at it right now.
Breedlove have just released. It must be a Summer Nam announcement. I mean, the press release I found is from, maybe not, it's from about a month ago. So
the rest of this podcast is only going to be about this now.
So
from now on.
Breedlove,
as far as I can tell, by the way, this is their only signature model.
So, Breedlove have just released a Jeff Bridges signature acoustic guitar.
This is better than when Gibson did the
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it looks good. So it's in, of course, bourbon. That's the finish that it's in. So it's a cutaway. It's pretty flamey, which is, you know, never my first choice. And also, it does have across the fingerboard, it does say all
tied
in this
the room
together.
Oh, sorry? I thought it said tied the room together.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
No, it says all in this together. So just having a read of this, it seems like pretty interesting actually. So Breedlove claimed that they where did I find it? Sorry, this is a boy reading a web page on a podcast. They only use like naturally fallen timber, so they don't like chop anything down, I think is what we salvage fallen timber or individually harvest trees to minimize impact on the forest. So that's quite nice. And it's made in Bend, Oregon. This looks cool. But I mean, look, let's be honest. The thing that we're really interested in here is the fact that it's a bloody Jeff Bridges signature model.
What a man.
Fantastic. Joe, basically what I'm saying is you need to stop recording this podcast right now and try and get Jeff Bridges on the podcast.
100%. Yeah. Do it. That's a Friday special for you.
Yeah, yeah, I should do that. I was looking at what string gauge they come
with. I know. I, of course, that was also one of the first things that I did.
Yeah.
And yeah, it comes with 13 to 56s. I mean, that's
pretty
what
standard,
you want,
isn't it? I guess that's quite heavy, isn't it?
But yeah.
I mean, that's heavier than standard. Most acoustic guitars come with 12s.
When I saw the name of the string pack, I'd hope for better, to be honest, because they're Daddario EXP-17s.
Yeah, the 17s. That was always a bit of a nightmare when I was working in the shop, because it's like, and actually the 7, so if I remember correctly, the 11s were, what are they, EXP or EXL?
EXP
11s. That's
because the acoustic
it's also
the EXLs.
Ones, right?
No, I think the EXLs are the...
EXL's electric. EXP's is acoustic.
Okay, so EXP. So the if you were getting the acoustics, the 11s were EXP 26. The 12s, I think, were EXP 14s.
No, EXP 11s are 12 to 53.
That is ridiculous.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I know it's something weird like that.
It's always a bit difficult to remember, it's particularly if someone comes in and goes, "Oh, can I get some Daddario 11s?" And then you're like, "11s or is it EXP 11s?"
Yeah. Oh yeah. EXP 11s are the 12. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah.
That's your mission, Joe. Get Jeff Bridges on the podcast.
I don't think I'd be able to handle it.
I just want to hear it. I don't want to be involved. I just want to hear you interview him. I think that'd be absolutely amazing.
I just
want to
hear you try and hold your cool whilst talking to Jeff Bridges.
I love your hair. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't be able to do it. God, that man always looks good. What a cool dude.
Just lure him on with you're going to talk about your guitar and then just talk about all of his films.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones. The Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
I just talk about his hair. How do you get your hair so silky? Aside from Jeff Bridges and his incredible guitar, we've been continuing the Guitar Nerd's own signature model custom build that we're doing in association with Guitar Assembly, who are a fantastic UK-based company that, listener, I think you should absolutely check out. They do courses in how to build guitars, but they also have a wonderful website that's full of loads of hints and tips on how to maintain your guitar and carry out all sorts of adjustments and replacement bits and bobs, which is very cool. But yes, Guitar Assembly are building for us a guitar. Now, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, and we spoke about the fact that we're going to have this this T-style guitar built with a track running through it to allow for the ease of strumming. Of course, we're having it done in shell pink, a little bit relict, a baked maple neck and board, but we need to decide upon the headstock. So, dear listener, you can help us decide upon that headstock. I've put a post out on all our social media platforms. From the Facebook group, Instagram, Twitter, you can go and find that post and you can vote on which headstock you would like to see on this guitar. Now, at the moment, this only went up a few hours ago, but certainly if I just isolate the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, we've had over 245 people vote on this already.
That's more people than listen to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And and at the moment, it looks like Headstock 3 is winning, which is the headstock where if you're on Facebook, you apply the laughing emoji to, with Headstock 1 in second place. Headstock 2's miles behind.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
So it looks like the third headstock, which is kind of like a similar to a traditional tea style, but in a two-tier format. So the lower half of that would be color matched to the guitar in a shell pink. What do you think, boys? Have you got a favorite jumping out for either of you?
I haven't looked at them. Sorry.
Oh.
I don't use Facebook anymore.
Oh, right. I thought I'd put, I didn't even put a link in. I did message it to you guys, actually, on the...
Oh, I don't read your messages either.
No, that's...
Both of those things, Facebook and your messages, are things that I try and avoid.
I see. I like one. Mm. Number one. The angle, the sharp angle.
It's closer to a...
The shangle, if you will.
It's closer to a Balaguer-style headstock or Friedman-esque, I guess. Because all three headstocks that have made it through are that sort of two-tier style. But yes, the first one is more sort of Friedman-Balaguer-esque. The second one is more bulbous, I guess. And the third one maybe a little bit more subtle and sort of T-style. But yes, we'll see. So, listener... Do find the post and let us know your thoughts, because we'll be making the decision next week and starting the build, which is going to be a lot of fun. So, pick your headstock. Anyway, gentlemen, I guess we should jump headfirst into a big old barrel of news.
News.
And it's been a very busy week.
I thought you were going to start that bare naked ladies.
It's been
style,
1 week since you looked at me. Went,
it's been.
No, I was not. Is that the one about X-Files? And
chicken in China, chicken. The Chinese chicken. Do you it. Have a drumstick in your brain cell sticking. What's the X-Files when the lights on? La Donna Maison.
I hope the smoking man's in this one.
That's the thing.
Is that what they say?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I've recently started rewatching. Well, not rewatching. I've recently been... Have I talked about this? Been watching X-Files. I've never seen it before, which is weird because I really like
that
sci-fi.
Is weird.
But yeah, my girlfriend was... she's watched it through a couple of times. She was like, you really need to watch this because you'll really like it. I was just really daunted by the fact that it's 215 episodes. Like,
that's too much.
That's really too much.
And yet you won't watch Mad Men, the greatest TV show ever made.
Well, yeah, because it's too much. But yeah, I kind of got suckered into watching X-Files. And yeah, it's so good. And I agree. I hope the Smoking Man is in the episode because it's always a good episode when he's in it.
There you go.
I need a new thing to watch, and I refuse to watch X-Files because that is too many episodes.
It's just a lot. It's
Dark.
A lot.
Shall I watch Dark? Is Dark good?
Oh, Dark's
quite
very
like
good.
I'd quite like to watch Dark.
I would consider Dark the best thing I have ever watched.
The best series
of anything I've ever watched. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very good.
I mean, that is some high praise.
Yeah. It's so good that I don't watch things anymore. I just play Marble Solitaire. Also true.
You've just smashed your TV. That's it. I've completed it.
There's no point in doing any more.
Exactly. I bought myself a hand-whittled Marble Solitaire, and now, you know, that's it.
Wait, isn't Solitaire the card game?
No, Marble Solitaire.
What is Marble Solitaire?
What do you mean, what is Marble Solitaire? You've got a circular piece of wood, or octagonal if you're playing the Russian version, but the bulk of Europe use the circular one. There are a couple of countries that use different amounts of marbles on this, but then you have little dimples in the wood that form a layout of marbles. You remove the middle one. Now you can jump a marble over another marble, but it has to go into a space. So you've only got one space. So you've got to take one of the marbles further out and jump it. And once you've jumped it, you remove that marble. Now you have to keep doing that, keep jumping marbles in different directions until you get rid of all the marbles, but you have to end up with one marble in the middle position. It's very difficult. The closest I can get down to is ending up with five marbles or so. But I'm not very good. My girlfriend Emma, much better. And she understands that it's about directing your marbles so you're always covering yourself rather than just randomly selecting as I do.
Doesn't this game have a different name? I'm sure I know this is a different name.
Solitaire? Peg Solitaire, sometimes it's called.
I'm sure. Patience, that's what I know it as.
Oh, I see. I've never heard it called that. Right.
Yeah. Yes. No, hang on. Yeah, because Patience is also the name for Card Solitaire.
Right, I see. Isn't that the one where you've got a fella lying down and you've got like some tweezers to remove like his funny bone and stuff?
No, that's Operation.
Oh yeah, that's it.
No, I'm going to look at this because I'm sure I know this is something else. Mm. But maybe I've just know it as Patience.
Well, just you know, if you don't fancy watching anything, I'm telling you, Marble Solitaire. It takes up hours of my life at the moment.
I'm in. Yeah, Surely, once you've figured out how to do it once, that's it.
Well, I haven't figured it out yet, so there you go.
On a related note to two of the things you've just mentioned, i.e., you know, like brain teasers and things on TV, you should watch Speed Cubers on Netflix, which is the story of a couple of people who are trying to break the Rubik's Cube world record.
Isn't that 10 seconds or something?
No, it's like, so they do, if you're talking, it depends which, it's like the Olympics, basically. There's different disciplines in cubing. So it could be, you know, just a regular, whatever it is, 3x3 cube, but some of them are like 12x12 or whatever.
There's not that many colours.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but they're certainly bigger. I think it's 10x10 it goes up to. But yeah, the 3x3, there's people that can do it in like 4 seconds.
They've already done it and then they just turn it once, so it's like, oh yeah, well look.
So I think they get some time to look at it.
Yeah, like, no, I think you can look at it, but you can't do it.
Yeah. And then it's just about being dexterous and getting it done and then like dropping it and, you know, you hit the buttons to say, oh, I'm done. But yeah, I think people are doing it in like sub 5 seconds.
I don't know how you do it in 5 seconds, even if you're like playing it the way I play, which would be to scrape off the colours that
the
don't
stickers
line
and
up
then and stick them back on. Yeah, exactly. I imagine that probably for these guys, that would take longer than them actually doing it. But yeah, you should watch the documentary because it is very good. It's really short, 40 minutes, and it's emotional. Had a little tear up at one point. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's a cool thing.
And speaking of cubing, I've actually, the last couple of weeks, I've watched both The Cube and Cube 2, Hypercube. good movies, actually. A lot better than I remember them being when I watched The Cube in like 2002 as
I think
a
I've only
very
seen the...
scared 14-year-old or something. Yeah.
I don't know why you were scared. I mean, I guess daytime British quiz shows are quite scary.
Yeah, I was going to say I've only seen the series.
Just, yeah, Philip Schofield, yeah. He's horrified.
Anyway, we should do some news.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what we're here for. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like this kind of the regular podcast. This feels
it's because Matty's not here, so yeah, we don't. Absolutely. We're not trying to impress anyone. That's the thing.
Anyway,
current record for the regular fastest.
Is this a spoiler? Is this a spoiler?
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's not. Current record held for the fastest solve of a Rubik's Cube is currently 3.47 seconds.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
That is outrageous. Anyway, let's do some news because it's been 3 weeks.
Since you looked at me.
No, it's been a busy old week for Fender, who have released a right old gaggle of things.
Good word. Yeah. I like it.
Thank you. But yes, I don't know where. I mean, we'll let Jay lead us into these things. But there are some very exciting bits and bobs. Where do you want to start?
I guess we should start with the Vinteras because that's kind of one of the big announcements. So at the back end of last year, obviously start of last year, I can't remember what it was, the Classics and the Classic Player series were both discontinued and replaced by the Vinteras. And one of the things that, one of the kind of externalities of that was that the road-worn guitars all disappeared because they were part of the Classic series. And lo and behold, what's happened now is we've got Vintera Roadworn have made their way onto the market. And this is actually hot off the press today. And when I say today, I mean today if you're listening to this on Tuesday, because that's when these are formally announced. Although I think some information did sneak onto the internet a little bit earlier, but that's fine. I don't think it is fine, but, you know, we are where we are. there are most of the models that you would want and expect, so I'll just do a quick rundown. So 50 Strats available in they've got 50 style humbucker, 50 style, wow, single coils, a thick soft V-neck.
Oh that's good. Are there any things that are different from when they were road worn before in any of the models? Not sure.
I don't know because the Roadworns I think they were always like kind of separate from the rest of the series. I don't know necessarily it was just like, oh, you can buy the Classic series Fender Strat in like normal finish, in NOS finish, or you can get it in Roadworn. I don't think it was quite as simple as that. I seem to remember
with Roadworn there was only ever like two finishes per model. I think it was definitely a slimmer range of options.
Yeah, and that's the case here as well. So each model has got two finishes. So 50 Strat comes in Fiesta Red or Surf Green, and those are 7.25 radius.
Wow, so that used to be, they used to do a Roadworn Sunburst 50 Strat because that's what I had.
Which was
fantastic. I fully regret getting rid of that, but I'm surprised they haven't reissued that in Sunburst.
Yeah, just Fiesta Red and Surf Green. But then, you know, colours are, it's you know, people change their mind like the wind, don't they? So it's I'm sure that colour swaps will happen as they tend to. 7.25 radius. The big thing with this is these are nitro lacquer, obviously because they are road worn. So that's really cool. 60 Strat is available in Lake Placid Blue or the Joe Branton Special. No, not that Joe Branton Special. Fire Mist Gold.
Ooh.
So not quite as exciting as the Burgundy Mist that I maybe tricked you into thinking it was going to be.
I was very excited about that. That's Fire Mist Gold. That is very cool. A Nitro Fire Mist Gold.
Yep.
Wow. Is that going to have like lacquer cracking from the offset, or is it just going to be like a thin nitro coat?
No, no, they're road worn, so it's like, you know, they're pre-worn, they're like relict.
That's outstanding. That's incredible. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so that's really good there. And then the 60s one, obviously, is Paul Ferronek. And that is a like mid-60s C, so a bit of a slimmer neck. There is a 50s telly available in late plastic blue or vintage blonde, which looks more like butterscotch. Although it's like, it's done the kind of, it's like vintage blonde where it's yellowed. And yeah, they both have a slim U neck, 50s pickups, and again, yeah, nitro finish. They look really good. I mean, this just basically is a road worn Baja, and it just looks so good. It looks so good. And late plastic blue, which is a color that I'm not normally a fan of, I think with the black plate looks really, really nice. I know that I've been very vocal about my disdain for late plastic blue in the past, but actually, yeah, I think with the black plate on this telly, it looks very, very good. There's sort of 70s tellies, which I don't think there was in the classic series. So yeah, 70s tellies, 70s telly deluxe, so two road worn humbuckers. Two wide range humbuckers. And those are available in Daphne blue and Olympic white.
They're not doing that in black.
No, not in black. No. Olympic white or Daphne blue.
What's the plate? What color is the plate?
Black.
Oh, that's quite cool. I could get behind that. I could get Daphne behind an Olympic white.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'm into the Daphne blue. Sounds
Daphne. Rich. The Daphne blue looks really good. And
can't
it's
get behind pastels anymore. But the, you know,
it's the big head stock as well. So
yeah, that sounds great.
So the only thing with this is the only thing that's, you know, will be price point dependent is these are the older style wide range humbuckers. So when I say older style, I kind of mean mid-period wide range humbuckers. So they're not Kunafe's. They are actually, I don't know what these are. I guess there'll be some sort of Alnico, but actually that is something else that's worth pointing out, is that kind of I think has got lost in the fray at Sum & Am. The Kunafe wide range humbuckers that were initially announced on the as like a special on some American original 70s tellies at Winterdam are now available as aftermarket pickups, so you can get a proper 70s authentic wide range humbucker made from Kunafe, which is actually really interesting. So basically, the story of Kunafe, and I think I talked about this in January when those guitars were announced. Kunafe was an element that was initially used on in cars, mainly in cars, and they were used on I can't remember what the like speedometers, there's like a proper word for it, but the thing that makes sure that tells you how fast you're going in a car. They were initially used on that, and then kind of technology changed and that kind of died out. And then basically the only thing that was using Kunafe were guitar pickups. So obviously it became really inefficient to make. So they got discontinued in the late 70s. And so for like nearly 40 years, basically, you couldn't get Kunafe anywhere. And Fender actually found someone who would make it, and it's available for the first time in nearly 40 years, so you can get a proper wide range humbucker. So this is designed to they were initially designed by Seth Lover when he joined Fender in 71 or 72, whenever it was that he joined Fender. So like the fact that you can get those, and I mean, if you get one of those and stick it in this, that would just be astonishing. That would be really, really cool. So that's that. Pretty cool lineup, and good to have the Road Worn series back.
Great to have the Road Worn series back. That is very exciting. I can't wait to see these, because of course, as we're talking about them now, you know, they're not sort of up and around on the internet. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they look like.
So the next thing that was announced that's really cool is there's going to be some new Tone Masters. So there is a new Tone Master Deluxe Reverb and a new Twin Reverb. So at first glance, you might think that they were just FSRs because these ones are blonde with an oxblood fret cloth.
Oh, that is amazing. Really?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. They look great. They look like my old Supersonic 22. So if you're familiar with those aesthetics, that's what they look like. But there's actually a bit more going on with them. So instead of having the Jensen speakers that were as standard in the original Tone Masters, these have actually got Celestion Neodymium Creambacks. So they're just as light as the Jensens. And actually, I think these Neo Creambacks are new. I don't think that they've done creambacks with in like the Neo style for very long, or maybe they've not launched them at all. I'm not sure, but yeah, they're super new, super light, and that like the creambacks just kind of break up a little bit better. That's, you know, they don't stay quite as clean as the Jensens. There's also a couple of new IRs that are in here with the creambacks. You've got an SM57, of course, and then a Sennheiser MD421. So two pretty different sounding mics those speakers.
There is a very, very thorough package, like a very complete package of, you know, as we spoke about the Tone Master, obviously, when it... the original one on Gear of the Year last year, but yeah. It's such a fantastic product to have sort of both a complete recording solution and a fantastic live solution kind of in one box. I love that they're expanding it and doing new finishes. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and actually there's another couple of things that you really probably wouldn't notice unless you were quite a nerd, and that is first of all there's like quite a popular mod that people do on on 65 deluxes, which is removing the bright cap on the on one of the channels. So what people have found is that if you remove the bright cap, it just allows the amp to take distortion pedals a little bit better, just smooths everything out, especially at kind of like lower to mid volumes. So what Fender have done on these is they have actually removed the virtual bright cap from the amp. So that you can do that, and there will be a firmware update that if you want the bright cap, you can actually update the firmware and put it back on.
That's very cool.
So that's really cool. And also another thing that is a really smart little piece of ingenuity is the fact that they can be attenuated all the way down to like 0.5 watt, I think it is. The problem that people had found with these is if you do that, the amp still thinks that you are running it at full whack. And so the reverb still reacts as if you are running it at full whack, even if you're running it quite quietly. So people had found that the reverb, when you were attenuating it down, could be like really overpowering because the amp thinks that you're running like... you know, you're running it at 10, but you're actually running it at 10, but tapered all the way down. So there's just a bit more flexibility with the reverb control, which just works a little bit better. And again, that's something that a firmware update, you can take off and go back to the normal setting. But yeah, they sound great. They're still super light. They look amazing. And yeah, like you say, Joe, it's just cool that there's something different with the Tone Master series that is actually more than just, okay, well, look, this one is blonde. It's, you know, it's quite a lot going on with it.
Well, I think when they first came out, it was one of those things where a lot of listeners sort of commented on it, and I think we probably did as well, like, hopeful that the Tone Master range would continue to expand and it would be something that Fender didn't just do as like a, you know, one amp, because it seemed like it could very much be just a solution for the Twin when it came out. But it's
totally, well, you know, we're all holding out hope for the resurgence of the Super 6 so that there'll be Fender could justify doing a Tone Master Super 6. You know,
I want it with those like pointed in speakers like that Fender 4x12 from the 70s. See if you can bring those back.
Yeah, that is absolutely what you want.
So just one more kind of headline news for us to talk about. I mean, like you say, there's loads of stuff that was announced, but pedals, I just thought it would be worth touching on those very briefly. So four new pedals. There are new deluxe versions of the Pugilist and the Marine Layer. So the Pugilist distortion is just one of my favorite distortion pedals on the market, although I appreciate that I might not be the most objective of commentators when it comes to that, but I think the Pugilist is amazing. So you've got two drive circuits that you can run either in series or in parallel, and if you're running them in series, if you're running them in parallel, you can blend between them, so get more of one or of the other. So what Fender have come out with for Summonam is the dual Pugilist, which is basically allows you to run those two pedals as two separate drive pedals in one box where you've got control over turning one or other of them off. If you were into that sound but you wanted to be able to stack the drives and have individual control over them, then you've got the option to do that. Few other bits and pieces going on with that, but that is very cool, and another expansion to the Pugilist range, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then there's the dual Marine Layer, which is the Fender Reverb pedal.
This is very exciting to me.
Yeah, so again, this is very, very cool. The Marine Layer has been, I think, probably the pedal that I've seen on most boards when you see Fender pedal that I've seen on most people's boards. That seems to be the one that is that has kind of like made it into the world of the pedal board nerds. And so with this, you've got the ability to run, again, you can switch between, so you can't run two at the same time, but you can switch between the two preset reverbs. And then right. You've also got a sustain control, which is momentary. And what that allows you to do is basically just kick in a new decay time for your reverb. So if you want to just like make, so it's not like a freeze, but what it does is it just blooms up your reverb decay so that you're really immersing yourself in the overall just like atmospherics of the reverb.
That's a great feature.
Yeah, really, really cool. And like the previous, like the standard Marine Layer, you've got three sounds to choose from there. So room, hall, and special, which is the sort of shimmery type reverb. So that is very cool. One little feature there that you won't have noticed from me saying it, but the so it's the dual Marine Layer. Dual as in D-U-A-L, because there's two of them. But the dual Pugilist is D-U-E-L.
Oh.
Because it's like two people
puns.
Fighting. I know.
Puns.
Yeah.
Two people having Fender a duel. Puns.
Having a duel. And then there's the other two pedals are the acoustic preverb. So that is like an all-in-one preamp for your acoustic guitar. You've got reverb in there. You've got gain. You've got a notch filter so you can get out any weird little frequencies. And then the Trapper bass distortion, which actually seems very, very cool. So with this, you have and what I think is good about this is it kind of would get rid of the need for me buying one of the Electro-Harmonix tri-parallel mixers, which is
is it a three pedal thing?
No, so again, it's just a two. So you've got distortion right. One and distortion two, but what it does is it splits your signal. And you can run distortion one and distortion two independently from each other. Distortion one is just kind of a regular bass distortion, just a really cool, girthy, thickening up your tone, really nice. Distortion two, what that does is it rolls off some of the low frequencies. So it allows your clean signal to kind of come through a little bit clearer, and it lets your higher frequencies get distorted from distortion one. So you've still got a bit of the like low end punch from the clean part of your bass signal.
So that's very cool, very thoughtful, and kind of exactly what you need from a bass distortion as well.
Well, I mean, you know, when the Tri-Parallel Mixer was announced and when we were talking about it at Gear of the Year, I saw it as a way for me to use my harmonic percolator in a more kind of usable way, because it would allow me to have some of my clean signal coming through, because it can just be too destructive. And I tend to find that with a lot of bass distortion pedals, is they just, like, I want to hear the P bass. And so having the ability to just run it through through that and still having some of the clean signal coming through, I just think that's a nice little way to attack that that problem in a bit of a unique way.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Oh, it's really good to see kind of Fender continue to expand their pedal range. I think the sort of larger reverb was definitely something that needed to happen, especially, like, they're all very cool. I'm not, you know, taking away from any of the other pedals, but having like having that sort of versatile, super, all things included reverb pedal was definitely something that Fender needed to do, as it seems like they're trying to come up with a complete utility range of effects. It was, you know, one of the things that was maybe missing from their range that was being done by the competitors that they're obviously, you know, going after.
Yeah.
But yeah, super cool. But that actually pretty much brings us up to time for this week's episode, regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We are going to be continuing over on Patreon, where this week we're going to be taking questions from the Patreon group. I knew this was going to happen.
We always do it.
We said at the start, like, you know, we're all feeling a little bit low energy because, you know, we've got no Matty here to buoy us up and give us the spec that we need and the technical details that we need to talk about these things. We're like, oh, we'll just do some questions. That'd be nice and low key. Didn't get around to a single one.
No, unfortunately not. Sorry. We went off on one about Dan Electro's and Jeff Bridges.
Want to talk about something else that was released this week. We'll do it on the Patreon. I want to talk about the Nick 13 Signature Gretsch.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we will do that. And dear listener, if you want to join us, you can do. You can, in fact, become a Patreon supporter of Guitar Nerds for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you this regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month will get you that and access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series and Patreon specials. And at the $10 tier, you get all of those things, plus you get your name sung in the podcast outro song. How wonderful indeed. You can, of course, follow us on all the major social platforms with Guitar Nerds and join us on our Facebook community at facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery.
Cheers, gang.
Bye bye.
Butterworth, Simon Milborn, Marcus Al Cadawacky, and Stuart Robson.
The Guitar Nerds!
The Guitar Nerds! Yeah,
the Guitar Nerds!
The Guitar Nerds! No,
the Guitar Nerds!
The Guitar Nerds!
Peters, Richard Sodwell, Jake Cutmore, Jamie Campan, Ken Sayers, Adrian Day, Sean Arbo, John Anglin, and Rob Poole, Tucker Amador, Arnie Cooper, Ross Edwards, and Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, David Lee,